Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the very first regular season edition of Under the Radar Podcasts. I'm your host for the Under the Radar segments here on Hoops HD, Chad Sherwood, streaming to you from, well, I guess I'm not from Big Ten country where we're under the radar. I must be from Metro Atlantic country.
NJIT country. NJIT, the Highlanders country.
NJIT country here in New Jersey, although they're up north. I'm down in South Jersey. Yeah. With me, as always, David Griggs. David, how are we doing tonight?
Pretty good. And I know we spent a lot of time, at least on the main podcast and a lot of the writings, talking about how uninteresting a lot of the games we thought the first week would be. But although they didn't appear to be intriguing matchups, we've seen some really, really good games. I think it's been a pretty exciting first week. I guess technically we're in week two now, because week one only lasts a couple of days. But
true, yeah. I guess if we're running the weeks by Monday through Sunday, I guess that's more the traditional way to run them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're in week two now, and we're in the very beginning of the exempt tournaments, which are ongoing over this weekend and all the way through the next week. But today we wanted to focus on a few things in the under-the-radar realm. We've got our new updated under-the-radar top tens, not based on performance only, but based on our preseason rankings combined with the performance that we've seen. We're going to take a look at the upcoming games over the next week involving the under-the-radar schools. And what else are we doing tonight, David?
I think that's about it. And again, just running through some of the conferences and looking at that. And again, first order of business, just to mention, we have the new bracket up. It's in the Bracketology tab. There'll be a link to it in this post as well. You're going to see a lot of strange things in there because, well, the way we do it, it's a checkpoint, not a forecast. We're not really guessing what we think is going to happen in the future. So we basically used, you know, how good we thought teams were going to be as a starting point and, you know, looked at how they played and how good other teams did against the teams we thought would be good. So you'll see some pretty crazy things. We have Northeastern, I'm sorry, up on the 10 line. We have some other teams, Florida Gulf Coast on the 12 line. But you know what? If you're looking at what's happened so far, Northeastern has won two games away from home. One of them was at Florida State. I mean, if you're really just going off of nothing other than pure results, you can make a case that they're a one seed. Nobody else has beaten a ranked team or a highly proposed team on the road like that and won two road games. Them in Miami, you could make a case that they're on the one line, but we're still interjecting a little bit of common sense into it. But
yeah, I would also think you can make a case right now for Boise State, who is undefeated up right up the top,
yeah,
way high up there. Even Army is 3-0 with a win over, a solid win over Air Force, a win over that VMI team that won by 100 points after losing that game to Army, and they then beat St. Francis of Brooklyn, not St. Francis of New York, St. Francis of Brooklyn, who is the favorites out of the NEC. So, and that was a road game for Army. So
yeah, there's
some teams that you could potentially make a case, hey, based on if the season ended today, they're one seeds. Well, we're not that crazy, I don't think.
Yeah, we're not that crazy.
Not yet, well, and obviously, Kentucky has the best win above of anybody this season so far.
Yeah. They're not exactly under the radar, but holy
not
cow.
Quite.
Holy cow.
David, the big wins for the under-the-radar team so far, I think the biggest one is that Northeastern win at Florida State. Would you agree with that? Or
I think so, and it was, at least, I was kind of surprised. I realized Northeastern was the team that we picked to win the Colonial, but that was not a consensus. I did not agree with that pick. This is a team that won 11 games last year. I just thought, I was just amazed at the praise that so many people seem to be giving them, and then they go out and win at Florida State, and this is a good Florida State team. And if you're looking at Northeastern, they have a few more winnable road. I mean, they have a few more chances away from home to get notable wins. And if they pick up two or three of them, I don't happen to have their schedule right in front of me. Do you have that, Chad?
I'll get you Northeastern's schedule in half a second here, because my computer has kind of froze up on me. But Yeah, this Northeastern team, maybe we're not going to be able to get their schedule, but...
I'll get it here in a second. Just, let's see.
This is great video here.
Yeah, I mean, no, when we come unprepared, we come prepared.
We should both get about to say, all right, I just got Northeastern schedule up. They have a game at UMass coming up. They have a game at Harvard. They have Western Michigan at home. They have a game at St. Mary's, game at Santa Clara. A lot of road games here, at Richmond, at Delaware. Right. Very road-heavy schedule.
Yeah, it's a road-heavy schedule. They've already got one against Florida State. And if they go, so if you look at UMass, Harvard, St. Mary's, which is a snake pit, I'm not quite so sure they're a tournament team, but they would certainly get some credit for winning there. If they win two of those three and then avoid, you know, stubbing their toes too much in conference, can this team land inside the bubble? Or are they that good, or did they just really play up, that one night?
Well, the problem is that they're not going to get their chances in conference play. One other non-conference game they have actually in January, middle of January, they played Detroit at home. Detroit gave Michigan a hell of a game tonight here on Thursday night.
They did not give Oregon a hell of a game, so it was surprising.
And they were right there with Michigan until the final minutes of this game and could have won it. So Detroit might be a better team than we suspected out of the Horizon League there this year also.
Does that mean Oregon's a better team? Well, we're not. They're not under the radar.
Well, they might be by the end of the year, so who knows?
They very well could be.
Another team that I've been really impressed with so far, David, is Florida Gulf Coast out of the Atlantic Sun. I've been raving about them for the last week since they beat UC Santa Barbara at home. They also beat somebody else at home.
they spanked them too, didn't they?
Yeah, it was Ohio University they beat.
Yeah,
just last night at home, the final score was a 17-point margin. They were up by about 20 in the first half. Ohio made a bit of a comeback in the second half, but then Gulf Coast turned it back on. They haven't left home yet. They've played three home games. The third one was against Nova Southeastern.
And they're in this Gulf Coast showcase going on now. And Nova Southeastern, holy crap. And okay, I guess there is.
But in fact, their first true road game isn't until the end of December when they're at Iona. So that's going to be the knock on their schedule. It's not – I mean, they then also have at Xavier and at Pittsburgh.
And they go back to Santa Barbara as
well. And a return trip at Santa Barbara. So they'll get the road games. It's just kind of a weird schedule that they're really starting at home in neutral court games for the first real portion of the season here before they get into any true road games.
And is this a team that's – I mean, if they can go up to Xavier or Pitt, I mean, is the, and again, this is just what we do in November. This team is better than I thought they were going to be. I mean, I think we all thought they were going to be the best team in the Atlantic Sun, but the Atlantic Sun is very weak this year. Is this a team that's good enough to land inside the bubble?
I think what you said there, they've got to win either that Xavier or the Pitt game. They probably have to win at Santa Barbara also. And they can't slip up against anybody in this conference. Any conference loss is probably a bad loss here.
Very bad,
USC Upstate's not the team they were last year. North Florida might be the next best team. They actually gave a pretty good game tonight to Northwestern. In fact, it took a Northwestern shot at the buzzer to beat North Florida tonight. Maybe that's your second best team.
God. Oh, boy. So... yeah, and the one thing about this league is that they do it right. The entire conference tournament is at campus sites. So if Florida Gulf Coast finishes first, they're hosting, and they're hosting against very weak and beatable teams. So hopefully they don't end up needing the at-large, but it's always nice to know that you have it if you need it.
One other team we do want to mention here, David, in the tip-off marathon, Northern Iowa came up with what we thought was a really good win over Stephen F. Austin on the road. Yes. That's definitely under the radar because most people probably look at Northern Iowa beating Stephen F. Austin and say, okay, who cares? But for us under the radar people, fans, we really care.
Well, yeah, and I guarantee you it's not under the selection committee's radar. Stephen F. Austin is not likely to lose at home for the rest of the year. And – I really think Northern Iowa will end up getting a lot of credit for that win. That was a great game. It was a very important game. It was a high-stakes game. It actually felt like a bracket-buster type game because you knew that both of these teams were good. You knew that they were top 40 caliber teams or thereabouts, but you also knew that they had limited chances, so they both really needed this one. And my God, at 10 o'clock in the morning, these two teams went at it. It was a great game. Very well played, I might add. I mean, it wasn't just that it was close and exciting. It was a very well played game.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It felt like a late February bracket buster game here. And Stephen F. Austin, I believe this was the second longest home court winning streak in the country that Northern Iowa broke.
Yeah,
this week. So good for Northern Iowa. I was not as high on them as you were heading into the season. I've now changed my tune on them, although I still like this Evansville team out of Missouri Valley Conference as well.
Yeah. And again, you really kind of got the sense. I mean, I didn't really have a rooting interest because I like both teams, but you kind of got the sense that SFA needed it more because they just don't have – I mean, at least Northern Iowa has a few more shots out of conference. They're going to get Indiana, or they're going to get Evansville. They're going to get Wichita. They're going to get at least a smattering of top 100 teams that they have the chance to beat either at home or on the road. SFA has – almost no one inside the top 200 after this week.
I'm actually going to disagree with you here, though, David. I think Northern Iowa needed this game more for the simple fact that Stephen F. Austin should win the automatic bid. I mean, it will be an upset if they don't. Northern Iowa should not win the automatic bid. Wichita State should win the Missouri Valley Tournament. So Northern Iowa is the team that's more likely to need an at-large bid than Stephen F. Austin. That's where I think Northern Iowa gets the extra credit.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And but I guess I was just going – I was assuming that neither one of them would get it. But I mean, SFA probably will.
SFA is at Xavier, at Baylor, and at Memphis. They've got three more chances there.
Yeah.
Other than that, they have nobody else on their schedule who is currently in the KenPom top 130. That's pretty bad.
It's a horrible schedule. Oh Lord!
It's not just the fault of the of being in the Southland Conference. They have three non-D1 games in the regular season. They play Prairie View. They play North Texas, Texas State, Cal State Northridge. They didn't schedule again. They didn't go out and play the games.
And they really need to. And this has been an issue with this team in times in the past before. I think it was 07 or 08 when this team was 26-4. They won at San Diego and at Oklahoma, both of who were tournament teams, both of who made the round of 32. And SFA blew through the Southland, lost in the conference tournament, and didn't get a look because their strength of schedule was around 260. And it's just this is a good program. They've had a lot of success. But they're more Utah State than Utah State. I mean, my God, get out there and play somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Xavier and the Baylor games are both part of the exempt tournament that they're in. Or is that the Baylor and the Memphis game? They're both part of the exempt tournament that they're in. The Northern Iowa game even was part of a ESPN event. So really they scheduled at Xavier and that's it. And then they got into a couple of events. That's not the way to schedule if you want an at-large bid.
Right.
It's a way to schedule if you want to win 30 games during the season, though.
Yeah, which they probably will. I mean, they did it last year.
David, I think the next thing we want to do is we want to go through our under-the-radar top 10. This will give us a better chance to go through some of these other teams that we have not yet had a chance to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through your list first, and then I'll comment on it and throw in what teams I think that you completely missed on?
Yeah, well, to top my list, and the reason I didn't have this team in there at all last week was because I guess I just kind of gaffed and thought, well, because of the brand name, they're not under the radar, but they definitely fit our definition. I have BYU at number one. I just really like them. I know they haven't done much yet, but I do think this is a team, to the dismay of bracketologists and committee members everywhere, that will be in the field. And the reason I say that is because they're just hard to place.
Yeah, they cannot play on Sunday, so that means they've got to be in a Thursday, Saturday, both first and second round site, or sorry, second, third round site, if we want to be precise here, as well as in their
one more year.
Regional.
One more year. Next year, the round of 64 will once again be the first round, but not till next year.
Yeah, not till next year.
Yeah.
So who do you have after BYU?
I have Northern Iowa. I moved them all the way up to number two. I was that impressed with them. I really thought that that was a very hard game to win, and they went in there and did it. I was big on them, and I honestly think that they're better than I thought. I have them at number two.
Okay.
Yeah. This team, number three on my list, this is the team that got absolutely pasted the other night. I must say I was kind of surprised. But I still have Green Bay at number three. Right behind them, I have SFA, followed by Toledo. And if I was redoing it, I think I might have Toledo. I might swap them with Green Bay. Toledo, in a losing effort, went into VCU, played really well. I mean, it's just, and again, this is the reality of under the radar. You don't get many shots at quality wins. When you do, it's oftentimes away from home in a true road game, and they get out there and they play hard, but they just can't get the win, and that's what happened with Toledo. And you kind of hate to say that they lost valiantly, but sometimes that's the best they can do. But losing valiantly, you need some wins. You need to get one or two of them. I think that they might get at least one, but I really thought they played well in that game against VCU.
Okay. With regard to your top five, I do have BYU on my list here also as number one. I agree with you 100% on them. I have Northern Iowa down at number four, but up there in the list as well. Green Bay, I dropped down to seven because they weren't even competitive against Wisconsin. I thought they should at least have been more competitive. Toledo, I have in my list. I have them a little bit lower here, down at number nine. I think I'll probably, if I redid my list, I'd probably bring them up higher. You did convince me with, they did really play well against VCU, so I think they should be higher than nine, but that's where I had them. SFA, I dropped off my list entirely.
Really?
I actually moved
them up.
You moved them up. I moved them down because I know exactly what I'm going to be doing, which is the same thing I did with them last year. I'm going to be looking at them every week and saying, who the hell are they playing? Nobody. Who the hell are they playing? Nobody.
And right. And last year they had to really sweat out some of those wins, and it's like, good grief.
I said in our preseason podcast, we're not going to do that with SFA this year. They convinced us, but I'm 1 weekend, I'm already doing it.
Yeah.
You got to schedule. How about the rest of your top 10?
Okay, it's six. Perhaps a little low. I don't know if this team has the staying power to play, to just bring it strong every night. Out of nowhere, outside of probably my top 30, up to number six is Northeastern. I thought they went in there. I thought they played really well. And they didn't look outstanding in their first game against Boston, but, I mean, they still got the win. This is a team that's won two games away from home. One of them was against Florida State. Is Boston College going to win a game in Florida this year? Probably not.
Well, Boston College came up with a nice win today, actually, in their exempt event. I'm having one of these moments, nights where I'm just blanking on everything. They beat College of Charleston. They played today, so it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They beat today. It was New Mexico. They beat today. That's correct. That's right. They beat New Mexico today. They actually looked pretty good in the game. I do like their new head coach, so maybe things are turning around in BC here. Olivier Hanlon is one of the best players in the ACC. So they have a star at least.
Does Northeastern play them?
I believe they do play. I will confirm that in a second here. But I'm talking Boston College, which I guess is under the radar in one sense, but shouldn't be in the under the radar.
Sticking with the Boston theme, I have Harvard at number seven. So they had a loss to Holy Cross, who was also in my top ten at number ten. But I mean, a lot of love for you, Matt, or for the Massachusetts area right here. But I think Harvard is probably better than what they showed us in their loss to Holy Cross. But still, I mean, they could potentially be really good, but they just didn't look it in that game. And really, I didn't see it because I don't think it was broadcast anywhere. But following the scoring line, they had trouble with MIT. a D3 non-scholarship place for a half. So is Harvard really playing up to their ceiling yet?
Well, Harvard played Florida Atlantic tonight and completely crushed them. So at least they turned things around a little bit. I agree with you. I have Harvard right at number 6 on my list. Northeastern, who you mentioned earlier, they're actually number 2 on my list. I bumped them way up. I really gave them a ton of credit for that Florida State win.
Do you think – okay, and my question is, well, you've liked them all along. Do you think that this is typical, or is this just one night everything went right and they played way over their heads? Or are they going to be able to bring it like this and pick up a win at Harvard and pick up like some of these other road games that they're playing?
By the way, they don't play Boston College. I confirmed that while we're going here. But, yeah, I think they will because – there's nobody – I mean, this might be another knock against them. That Florida State game, I think, is the toughest game, or maybe the Harvard game are the two toughest games on their calendar. They've got
– they go to UMass, don't they?
They've got winnable – but they're not playing at Kentucky, at Kansas, Duke, at North Carolina. They're playing games at UMass, at Harvard, against St. Mary's, Richmond, Detroit. They're playing these top 100, maybe top 60 teams or so, but not playing the top 10 teams, which could give them a boost in the RPI without having to go and get slaughtered for a couple of games this season.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Northeastern could put together a really strong record. We could be looking at a 22, 23, 24 win team by the time we hit tournament time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your top 7. Who were your last 3? You mentioned you have Holy Cross at 10. Who'd you have at 8 and 9?
Okay, 8, this is a team that has been very disappointing this year, but I still think they have a high ceiling, which is why they're in my top 10. If we're going just off of results, this team is nowhere near the top 10. I still have Louisiana Tech in it at number 8.
I have them at 5, so I agree with you.
Yeah, they have a high ceiling, I still think. I still think they're going to have a big year. It's just limping out of the gate, really kind of sleepwalking against Southern, and that's okay. Well, it's Southern. It's hard to get up for Southern. But then they go to Temple and lose. And if you are an at-large caliber team, and I think we both believed them to be one, you need to win at Temple, and they didn't. And they didn't even look that good for the entire second half, really. It was just a disappointing showing. But I still have them at number 8. 9, again, another hugely disappointing showing in their opener, Murray State, losing at home to Houston, which Murray State has a tendency to be inconsistent and sleepwalk and sometimes have to sweat out teams that they should be crushing. This has been Murray State's MO for about 20 years. And again, they lose at home to Houston. They followed up by absolutely crushing Middle Tennessee on the road, which is why they're still in my rankings. And number 10, as I already said, I have Holy Cross, who had the big win against Harvard.
I agree with you about the Louisiana Tech pick. I've actually got them higher on my list, still number 5, just because I think that this team is that good. Murray State, I was never very confident about going into the season. They lost that game at home to Houston. That was a huge opportunity to beat a name brand, at least, at your home court. I dropped them out of my top 10 entirely after that.
That's fair. It really is. I mean, just, oh, Lord. And Houston's not a good team. They're not even – I mean, they made our bracket that we referenced earlier largely because we just decided that was quality enough to go in the Murray State. But it was one of the best teams that they played. That's how weak Murray's schedule is, and they lost. Oh, how do you lose that game?
Running through my top 10 quickly here, David, BYU, I agree with you. I had them at number 1. I had Northeastern number 2. Number 3 is a team you didn't even have on your list. That's Florida Gulf Coast. Maybe that was an oversight on your part. I don't know, or you do not think that they're up there yet.
I think that they're that good. I just didn't have them up there yet. Okay. But yeah, I mean, a case could definitely be made for them. They definitely passed the eye test. Santa Barbara's good, and Gulf Coast just...
And Ohio's a good team also. I think Ohio's... Yeah. Two solid teams that they pretty much beat up on. They didn't beat up on Santa Barbara, but that was a really impressive win. I still think Santa Barbara is going to win the Big West, which is that's a good win for Gulf Coast. 4th, I had Northern Iowa, which we already discussed. 5th, Louisiana Tech. 6th, Harvard. 7th, Green Bay. At number 8, I have Army. I was really impressed with the fact that they went and won at St. Francis of Brooklyn, and that they also beat Air Force, who I think is a better team than people are predicting for them this year, and the win over VMI. VMI plays that 150 points a game style of offense, and they're not easy to beat. So I was impressed with Army's wins.
Very impressed with Army. I like that you put them in there, because I looked at them. I guess part of it is that I'm just not believing it yet, but they have looked really good. They've looked so good that it makes sense to think that maybe they can finish at or near the top of the Patriot. I mean, they look really good.
I'm more impressed with them than I am with American so far, and the American
as am I.
At number 9, I had Toledo here. You had them higher. Number 10, David, I did something a little different this week. My number 10 team is actually an entire conference. I put the entire Big South Conference at number 10.
Bravo.
If you go back to our preseason podcast, I mentioned when we were talking about when we went through the conferences that the Atlantic Sun last year was a conference we loved to watch and that it was exciting and fun. There were so many teams we were talking about. When we got to the Big South Conference, I said, Big South is going to be this year's Atlantic Sun. And
you were right.
I'd like to be right, because I think I was right so far on this call here. We've got multiple teams. You got High Point, who's 3-0, went and won three games in Hawaii,
taking
the title in the Rainbow Classic. Coastal Carolina picked up – well, Coastal Carolina is 2-1, but they played well against UCLA. They actually lost that game.
Yeah, they did. But they did play well. I mean, again, so encouraging there. Perhaps like a schizophrenic team, and I guess you were about to get to them, is this Winthrop.
Winthrop picked up a real nice win at Clemson, followed up tonight, though, with a loss at Savannah State.
What are you doing? Why? And Winthrop would have been very high in our top 10 had that not happened.
Charleston Southern won at Ole Miss. There's another team out of the Big South up there. Radford, who was a team I called to win this conference, actually started out 0-2 until they, I think they got by Howard tonight, but they lost to Richmond and to James Madison. You've got, I think Liberty picked up a win as well over Delaware. Lost by 10 to Va-Tech. You've got UNC Asheville, who's the one that picked up the win over East Carolina.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I knew that they had. And East Carolina is not a great team, but it's still, you would expect them to beat Asheville, and they didn't.
And that was a true road win there.
Yeah.
In fact, everybody in the conference here has at least one win so far, 1-1 or 2-0. I've just been really impressed with the Big South teams, and they've been very competitive this year.
Yes.
I'm not saying we're looking at a multiple bid conference here, but...
Right. But it's still... maybe so. Maybe somebody plays their way all the way up, although when you lose to Savannah State, it's hard to do that. But this has been a conference that's been a fixture on the 16 line or lower ever since, really, Greg Marshall left Winthrop. And I don't think they're going to be on the 16 line this year if they keep this up.
Now, the only problem that they may have is that you may have enough parity in this league that they beat each other up in conference play, and you end up with a bunch of teams that finish 11-7 in conference. In fact, Ken Pomeroy, as of this very moment, is predicting a 6-way tie for the conference championship, all at 11-7.
Wow.
And then with Asheville a game behind at 10-8. So that's how balanced this conference looks, but they've proven that they're going to be competitive out of conference, too. So that...
Yeah,
that could be a cut. Definitely going to pay a lot of attention to the Big South this year.
Oh,
I had a few honorable mentions as well. One of them was Holy Cross. My other two honorable mentions, we've got to mention UMKC after that win at Missouri, although Missouri stinks this year. But
Missouri does stink, but UMKC went in there and won, and they were leading Kansas State pretty much through the entire first half. And although K-State pulled ahead, I mean, UMKC was at least keeping it within range. I mean, they made the game worth watching. I was pretty impressed with them. I've been more impressed with them than anybody else from the WAC. So far, but it's early. But yeah, it's definitely worth mentioning.
One other team that I gave an honorable mention to, and I think could be one of the more interesting games coming up on Saturday, Eastern Washington, who's currently 3-0 out of the Big Sky. They haven't beaten anybody yet. They've Texas Southern, Utah Valley, and Walla Walla, one of our favorite non-D1 teams.
Our favorite teams,
yeah. But they are Saturday, they're at SMU, who has been the most disappointing team for me that I've seen so far this year. I think I'm ready to admit that I was wrong about my Final Four pick on that team.
Yeah, they've been really bad.
I mean, I understand them getting blown out by Gonzaga, but to go and just look, I mean, I guess it was a close game at Indiana, but they were down most of the second half here, and they lost at Indiana tonight, and they may be in trouble with Eastern Washington coming in over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, they didn't win on the road last year, and that trend is continuing. So,
So that's our top 10 lists. Anything else we want to discuss here, or do we want to move into our schedule for the week?
I think we just got the schedule for the week.
All right. I'm going to run through a few games here. We're going to start with games on Friday, November 21st. There's a couple of games that are under the radar teams against power conference teams that are going to be interesting games. I think the highlight game here for me is Stephen F. Austin at Xavier.
Yeah, that is a good one. That is hugely, hugely important for Stephen F. Austin. For the reasons we said earlier, their schedule gets really, really soft. This is a game that, I mean, Xavier, they've looked really good at home. They beat a decent Northern Arizona team pretty handily, and they pounded, I forget who they even played in their second game. Was it Long Beach, who is pretty good. So this is a Xavier team that's actually, I mean, again, against weak competition has looked good. They aren't somebody that a lot of people are projecting to make the tournament, but I kind of like the Xavier team. I think you do, too. But, I mean, with such a young team, I could see them overlooking. I don't think the coaches will, but I think the players will, overlooking this SFA team a little bit. I mean, this is a really good SFA team. So I think they've got a really good chance at going in the Xavier and beating them.
And SFA really needs this win, as we already discussed. Also interested in this Georgia State at Colorado State game on Friday evening.
Yeah.
Georgia State needs quality road wins. Colorado State isn't a great team this year, but that is a solid road. That's a road win going to help them, especially after they lost their tip-off marathon game.
Yeah, and they lost it badly. I mean, for the first half, I thought they looked pretty good, but God, they just ran out of gas.
One other that I'll throw out here that wasn't on my original list, but is now set because it's a semifinal in the Charleston Classic. Akron and Miami should be an excellent game tomorrow afternoon.
That's excellent, and it's hugely important for Akron. This is a really, really good Akron team. I mean, not many people are excited about them, but they're good. I like this Akron team.
And the other team out of the MAC, Toledo, that we really like, they're at Oregon tomorrow.
That's another good game. I mean,
They should win that game. They should win.
Yeah, they really should go out to Oregon. I mean, if Akron gets Miami, and I still don't think people realize how good this Miami team is, even though they won at Florida. If Akron gets that win and Toledo goes out to Oregon, I mean, you're looking at a really, really solid foundation for the MAC conference. I mean,
yeah, if only Ohio could have won at Florida Gulf Coast, they'd be in a lot better shape. But
yeah,
so it's anything else that you're looking at for Friday here, David?
Not especially, no. But, those are the three big ones. I like all three of those.
On Saturday, we have our team of the year is in action again with a very winnable home game. NJIT is hosting UMass Lowell.
Yeah, and if they don't win that, I'm going to be very, very disappointed. This is a grudge match. NJIT is not in a conference. We've been over this. They were hoping to get into the America East Conference. And enter UMass Lowell, who is a transitional team. Part of the rules is that in order to be a transitional team, you must first be invited by a conference. They were invited by the America East Conference. They essentially took NJIT spot. And I don't know about you, Chad, but I am not happy about it.
Well, NJIT can get the grudge match here. UMass Lowell actually won on the road tonight at Sacred Heart, so picked up a road win for a transitional team. That's always a big event. But NJIT is off to a 1-2 start. Disappointing performance at Albany the other night. They didn't really play very well. I was hoping that might be one of their a good road win to help them move towards that CIT bid. So they're 1-2. They did beat Maine at home. They lost at St. John's and at Albany. Get the record up to 2-2 and try to get that 500 record on the season.
Right, and get a little payback here.
Another game looking at Saturday involving one under-the-radar team. Omaha is at Marquette. I'm kind of interested in that game, David. I think there could be an upset here.
Yeah, that would be an upset. This Omaha team is great by transitional team standards, and this Marquette team is disappointing by just about any standard. But
you don't agree with me then.
I don't. If Omaha wins that one, I'm throwing a party.
Okay. A real good game here on Saturday, American at Louisiana Tech.
Yes, and oh, God, La Tech cannot afford to lose that. They need that one bad. Their conference is not doing them any favors. They're not going to have shots at good wins outside of maybe UTEP. They need that one.
And another game here, speaking of UTEP, UTEP is going to be hosting New Mexico State. Saturday night.
I've been real disappointed in New Mexico State. I mean, that was an ugly game, albeit it was at a very odd hour out at St. Mary's. They just didn't look good. When I've seen them, they haven't looked good at all. I still think that they can win the WAC. It's a very weak league. But they haven't looked as good as UMKC.
UMKC's looked better. I like this Utah Valley team as well. And if even Seattle can get in the mix here. So it's not the runaway look for New Mexico State as it was last year, even though, and while New Mexico State got the automatic bid, actually Utah Valley won the regular season out there in the WAC. Anyone else that you're looking at here on Saturday?
No, I think you touched on all the big ones.
Okay. In terms of Sunday, we've got a game here involving Iona is at North Texas. North Texas is one of my sleeper teams in Conference USA. Iona, still the favorite out of the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah.
And another big game here Sunday night, UC Irvine is at St. Mary's. I think that should be a pretty good one as well.
That's going to be a fun one. These are two really good teams. As St. Mary's is always tough at home. UC Irvine went into Arizona, and for 30 minutes, man, it was you really thought you were going to see something. And then it ended very much the way you would expect it to. But I like this Irvine team a lot. This is a really good game between two teams that really need some big wins to establish themselves.
Right. And speaking about St. Mary's being tough at home, right now as we're broadcasting, St. Mary's is up 10 over a Denver team that we think is a lot more talented than they have performed to. And once again, Denver is underperforming this year, it looks like.
Yeah, their talent to goodness ratio is way out of whack.
David, coming up, a few games going to next week on Monday night. The part two of the Battle of the Boulevard in Nashville, Lipscomb, and Belmont will be playing their second game of their so that's a big rivalry game there.
And I think this one will end very much the way like the first one did.
we then have Marquette going for their second straight upset home losses. They're going to be hosting NJIT on Monday.
Yes. Oh, we're bringing the buses to that one. NJIT. Take down Shaka.
A few other games heading into next week here. Going Tuesday night, Houston is at Harvard.
Houston has one big win sort of already. I mean, if they go to Harvard and win, this is a great start for Kelvin Sampson's team, and it couldn't happen to a crappier guy.
You've also got a rivalry game here, Omaha at Nebraska.
Yes.
Not quite a rivalry game, maybe.
Rivalry as in it's not a rivalry.
Buffalo at Grand Canyon.
This one's interesting. Buffalo really went. I think they raised a lot of eyebrows when they managed to lead Kentucky for an entire half. I don't think, again, the MAC, I don't think they're as good as Akron or as, obviously, Toledo, but, if they go out there and get this one, the MAC might really have something this year. I might have to put them in my top 10 next week in the MAC conference.
Just a couple quick games here Wednesday night. American is at Hampton. I think Hampton may be one of the best teams in the MEAC, hosting the best team out of the Patriot League. Could be a fairly even game.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of that this
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Any other games you're looking at coming up here?
I think you touched on just about all of them. I mean, all the big ones that we're looking at. And then, of course, like the rest of the top 10, it's just an exercise in not stubbing your toes, because look at what happened to Winthrop tonight against a Savannah State team that I don't think any of us are expecting to be good at all.
David, we wanted to do something special this year. We obviously didn't do it this first Under the Radar podcast, but we wanted to start, you know, using our Hoops HD expense account and actually getting you out there on the road.
Yes, yes, we will. I will be hitting the road this week. We haven't decided where yet.
Well, I had a thought in mind. Unfortunately, the game was scheduled for tomorrow, but I was going to send you to the Montana State at Buffalo game. Through about 10 feet of snow there. Unfortunately, that game was actually canceled for tomorrow because of the snow, so
yeah.
A little disappointing. Well, it might be rescheduled. The two schools are working on it, but when you got right. Montana State at Buffalo, it's probably not going to be rescheduled for this season.
Yes, so... And again, I mean, it's just been busy. I wanted to be broadcasting live from St. Mary's tonight as they're taking on Denver. Couldn't happen, but next week, yes, we're going to be using the expense account. I will be going out onto the road and reporting. It's going to be better than College Game Day.
Actually, David, we may want to take a look into this if we're coming with a game with a podcast probably next Wednesday night, with Thursday being Thanksgiving. That is the start of the Great Alaska Shootout. How would you like to go to Anchorage?
Oh, we could go. Yeah, I could do that.
Right.
It's lovely this time of year.
We've got Pacific against Alaska Anchorage. That's the 11:30 p.m. game, 2 o'clock a.m. game between Missouri State and Colorado State. A couple under the radar teams there.
You can give
us a report from yes. Beautiful Anchorage, Alaska. So we're going to work on that, folks, and hopefully we'll have David Griggs on the road and maybe coming to a city near you sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Any final thoughts for the night?
Just, wow, what an eventful week. And that's the thing. I mean, you really get, even though it's November, it's almost kind of upside down. This almost feels like conference games, because you need these quality wins early for Under the Radar. So, you're outside the major conferences.
Yeah, these mid-major, small conference teams earn their at-large resumes in November and December, whereas right. The major conference teams earn them in January and February.
Right. So... what an eventful first week. It was, I think, more exciting than what I had anticipated, at least when looking at the schedules. And, again, some big games this weekend. Really looking forward to that SFA Xavier game. I might try and get up to that one.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe is that Sunday? You could do that for the Bracket Racket Sunday night. Yeah. Maybe we could have you there, too. All right. Well, with that, everybody, have a great evening, and we'll be talking to you again real soon.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving means two things, KFC and wild turkey.